This is Paul calling from Chandler, and you asked me talk to you earlier in the week about the serial killer incident in Kentucky.
Yes, sir. Yes, I remember that. Yes.
And I'm doing so. And all I can tell you about this thing is this was at least the most very unpleasant experience I've ever had in a lifetime.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, so after the first occurrence, they were all kids between the ages of 15 and 19, I think, was the oldest. I started to have nightmares under the full moon. The second time I had a nightmare, and it was like I could see through this guy's eyes, and it was like in black and white. And this park, this huge park in Louisville, was 800 and some odd acres. You know, it was in my back door. We played there as kids. It was 2.5 miles from my house. It was practically on the edge of the campus of the high school that I went to. And in the 70s, I was a karate instructor with Tracy's International, a well-known Kempo
sure.
school. And I'm very, very fortunate to be there. And of the, some of the kids that in the neighborhood, one of them, we'll call her Mary, I taught her self-defense. Everybody specialized in something. I specialized in street self-defense. And I'd always taught her that people that are predators, that are predacious on women and children, it's a power play. And at some point, if you can control your fear, and you're going to be afraid, and believe me, I've been afraid many times in my life, scared to death.
Oh, yeah.
If you can control your fear, there's a certain point where they will relax and they'll think they're in power. And then, like it is now, young girls wore wide belts, and I said, just carry a very small knife under your belt buckle. And this guy took out four girls and on the fifth. And the night of the fourth girl that was killed, it was I told you it was the Grand Alignment, I was so disturbed I couldn't sleep. I got in my vehicle and I went. My wife worked security for a major company. And I sat and played with my radio gear all night long. And I had my Belgian Shepherd with me, Blitzen, my buddy.
And yeah.
Then, you know, 2 days later, the police knocked on the door. And somebody had said that my truck had been seen in the area, and, you know, they wanted me to take a polygraph. I took the polygraph. And, of course, I passed the polygraph. And
but they thought you might be the serial killer, right?
They were desperate. And they thought it was possible because I lived in the area and because we had a kid across the street that was just not too well balanced, and he said, well, you know, I think this is the guy. And he later on was arrested for impersonating a police officer. It's kind of a sad story.
Yeah.
And so they were following every single lead. They were very, you know, they were not real serious, but I mean, it's kind of a scary experience.
Well, then you may have been one of the best leads, I guess, at the time, right?
Well, I don't think any lead. And then when I was down there and they gave me the polygraph test, and if you've ever taken one of these things...
I've never done that. I've been on the other side. I've watched them with news stories and stuff, but I've never had to...
So I didn't have any problem with the test, but I turned around and I looked at the polygraph operator and I said, you know, I told him about, you know, how I felt about this, and he said, can you tell us anything?
Oh, and sometimes I assume, in knowing that you knew that you were innocent, that you think you're going to screw this test up and it's going to come back positive, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the first thing I did, I walked in the room. My father-in-law was a career police officer, and my next-door neighbor, Lieutenant Colonel. And I said, you know, if I fail this thing flat, I don't care. It's not admissible. Get me a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because this was a serious...
What a
serious
nightmare.
It was a terrible thing. I mean, these girls were terribly mutilated. And what the funny thing is, when the two detectives came in, the thing that just finally I just completely relaxed, I had no fear, I said, then you think that maybe the body was transported in my vehicle? And they said, well, it's possible. And I said, well, then take the vehicle. Because I said, you can look on your pants and you're going to find dog hair. And I said, everywhere, you know.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's on me. I said, it's impossible. I said, if you don't want to drive the vehicle down, I'll drive it down. And you can have your lab people go over it. Well, anyway, they asked me if I had any feeling about it, and I said, it's a police officer. And then they showed me a stack of files that had to be 3 inches thick, and they said, these are all jackets where we polygraph police officers. And they thought so also.
Jackets meaning folders to
yeah,
some
folders.
People who don't
and,
know. That's an old military term, huh?
Well, I'm kind of your age.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we've got a lot of time.
In that case, that's a young military term.
Well, not so young. But anyway, they asked me if I owned a handgun, and I said, yeah, in fact, I did. I owned a .22 caliber Ruger target pistol. And I said, but I don't believe that's the gun that was involved in this. I believe it was a 9mm police weapon. And it turned out that that was correct. And the unusual thing is the head of homicide, which was just highly irregular, came out and shook my head, and he said, I really want to thank you for coming down and talking to us.
Did they know you were having these dreams, or did they think
I
you were a psychic or what?
I told them. He asked me, he said, do you have, at the end of the thing, the polygraph said, do you have anything that, any feelings about this, anything? No, as far as I know, they didn't know.
But, I mean, was it at that point you told them these are dreams?
I told him I had had the dreams, and I told him I felt like it was a police officer, and he said, why do you think it is? And I said, because I believe it was a police weapon, a 9mm, and I said, I believe it's someone who could move freely at night, because it had all happened at night.
Yeah.
And it turned out that every one of these kids had been arrested for some minor thing, and this guy was a special police officer, worked with probation and parole.
Oh.
And he was grabbing
were
them.
Were these his clients, I guess?
Yes.
Oh,
and he would grab them on the street, cuff them, take them to the park, and that was the end of it. And, of course, when Mary, again, to protect her name, when he took her at the point where he uncuffed her and he thought he had the advantage, she cut him twice across the stomach, not deep, but long cuts, and
You saved her life with that recommendation.
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, Jim Stewart, my head instructor, Roger Lee, and Hank Childers, and Jim and Al Tracy saved her life.
What finally happened to him?
He is on death row in Kentucky. However, I don't know if he will ever receive the death penalty. He will never see light of day again. They buried him.
Remarkable job.